alive! From the tomb of Popeye the Sailor in Sweethaven, Nova Scotia. It's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. And once in a while, other topics. With your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, author, inventor, philosopher, the first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, and the longtime legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, a man who has read Moby Dick cover to cover, Richard J. Ringhausen. And you ready? Marksman, sculptor, and daredevil. The 7-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. An Olympic-caliber yo-yoist. The youngest of the Ringhausen brothers and the star of your show, Alan J. Ringhausen.
Yay. Woo! Did you watch any of the Olympics?
Olympics back when they were on? Yeah, I did.
Right, you get a good dose of it, did you?
I did. You were in California at the time, right?
Did you still want more, or were you satisfied with what you got?
I figure I got my money's worth.
Yeah? Did you record all the two-man luge racing?
I watched a lot.
Look at that.
I watched some two-man luge racing.
Okay, the people that are in the two-man luge, they know each other.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like Team USA, you know, has a good luge racer in Vermont and another good luge racer in the state
of
Washington.
Come on, we're going to team you up.
Yeah, we've watched you and realize you're with other partners right now. But for the Olympic possibility of Olympic gold, we want you two to lay on each other and go for the gold.
I don't have any person that I know sufficiently well to luge with like that.
Yeah.
It just creeped me.
Yeah? A little bit?
Yeah.
A little bit of a homophobe, are you?
I just don't like luging.
Okay. My problem is that close proximity to another man.
Oh, so you are a homophobe.
No, I'm just, I don't want to be close to anybody like that.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't want people touching me.
Well, maybe, who's that other Olympian that I...
You know, I watched a video of the four-man bobsled, right?
Yeah.
And during the training things before the qualifying things, the American team, there's a video of it. You can go online where they're taking off and the first guy jumps in, number two trips, and the other two trip over him, and the one guy goes down the run by himself.
By himself.
Yeah.
Wow. He's and all the way down. He's like, those idiots are good. Ugh. Okay, they were interviewing the American girl who skated skied as a Chinese.
Oh yeah, big controversy.
Eileen Gu.
Yeah, she's like fantastic skier.
Right, and she won. You know, like she wins everything.
But she's a traitor.
They were interviewing her. And the guy that's interviewing is like, well, don't you feel like that you've failed in not getting the gold in all events? And she like stares at me for a minute and then bursts out laughing. She said, I'm the most decorated skier in world history. I'm fine.
I really don't think of myself as a failure, no.
But like, she's like, who is this guy? Take him out. Take this guy out of the room and have him beaten.
It's your wonder.
Yeah, he's like, you know, like trying to frame her
as a failure, traitor, whatever.
This woman already has $20 million in advertisement contracts, all American, not in China, and just all in endorsements for, you know, like, I wear this kind of skis or whatever. She's most decorated skier in Olympic history, And she's currently going to, she's a model. She's a supermodel. And she's going to Stanford, where she's getting a degree in quantum physics.
Okay. You know, that's a pretty high standard to top, isn't it? Hey, mom, dad, brought home a girl, going to get married. Yeah. Is it that traitor? Well, yeah, but she's a millionaire and a model and a nuclear physicist.
And we're doing a two-person luge together.
That's how we met.
They don't have mixed couples on the luge, do they?
Not yet. That's coming.
$20 million endorsements, gold medal, supermodel, and a degree in quantum physics.
That's a pretty good way to start your life.
Okay, well, here's when, you know, they were going through this list of her attributes and stuff. And why does she get all of that? I mean, it seems unbalanced that, like, she...
That when God's creating humans...
Yeah, she's beautiful. She's smart. She's talented. And here I am, a 65-year-old dwarf. Yeah. With no skills.
Yeah, but, you know, when I'm faced with this question, I just say, hey, you know, you can't control your genetics.
And that's to defend the good or the bad.
No, I watched...
Last I checked, you weren't a supermodel.
I watched the incredible girl skater that became like America's sweetheart.
Which one was it? The one that gold, the one the gold?
Yeah, not the crybaby, the other one.
The one that quit and then came back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She retired at age 16.
Retired at 16.
Don't you like that? Oh, I'm washed.
Well, I'm going to have to retire. I've lost it.
I'm a failure.
At 16. But you want to know why she won? Because she didn't care anymore.
Yeah, apparently.
She just, you know, doing her thing.
That's the darndest thing, watching that. I was sitting there watching that when she came out. So it's like, okay, you know, they interviewed her before she skated about her medal. I really don't care.
Is it my turn? I got to stop talking. It's my turn to go skate for the gold.
Woohoo! It just went out.
Which was better than the quad god who, you know, like, oh, yeah. All they did was just interview him until he fell down.
So do you
have nobody? Then they cast him off. Like,
do you have your case where you're going to put your gold medals yet? Oh, sorry.
He did get one. I mean, he got a gold medal for Pete's sake.
Yeah, he's part of team effort. He did fine. He came out of it. He's just not going to cash in like America's sweetheart's going to,
or the Chinese sweetheart.
Yeah, she ain't getting no Wheaties box out of it, but that other girl will.
Yeah, she will.
Her bank ability went up about 10,000%.
But did you see, you know, at the end of that ceremony, there was some girl, I don't know what country she's from, the one that got the bronze medal.
Yeah,
and she was 10 times more excited about winning the bronze medal than the one who won the gold.
Makes you wonder how she would actually
true
won gold.
Joy. Right.
You know, the little girl that won, I can't remember, Alicia, right?
Lou. Yeah, whatever.
You know she's got this bizarre hairstyle, right?
Yeah, the stripes.
Yeah, the raccoon stripes.
Yeah.
They say it's like the number one hairstyle in America.
Oh, everybody right got to have it, huh?
Yeah. I asked Suzanne if she's going to go get her hair done.
And?
Like, she says probably not.
Huh. Sarah did.
Yeah. Those stripes just like that?
Yeah, she got stripes just like that because she so admired her.
Can you imagine you're a hairdresser? Some 15-year-old girl comes in.
I want my hair just like
that. Oh, God, no! Not that.
No, I'd say they'd probably do it because it's probably expensive and it lines up a lot of extra business.
Time consuming. You have to probably have to come back 2 or 3 times to get that done.
Yeah, no big deal, though. No big deal.
She thinks she was a godsend to the hairstyling industry.
What?
I said, you think she was a godsend to the hairstyling industry?
Yeah, probably. But she wouldn't have been if she had lost.
Oh, the other girl that was getting all the press, too, was that downhill skier.
The one who broke her leg?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like in the first.
She was still getting quite a bit of publicity laying in her hospital bed.
You know, and it was funny when.
It was funny when she fell and broke her leg? Rick, you're sick.
No. She fell, you know, Lindsey Vonn was going to. You know, you heard Lindsey Vonn and the Quad God. I mean, you heard those two names constantly. Quad God fell right off the snap.
Yeah.
It wasn't, and he fell a couple times. So there was no redeeming it, no matter how they were going to do it. And Lindsey Vonn was also like real old woman, but going to win the winter gold.
Right? Yeah.
And fell like within the first 15 feet of it or so. And, you know, then they bring in the helicopters and stuff, you know, and they shut down for about 30 minutes while they get her off the hill. And you're sitting there thinking, she's not really hurt. Just her feelings are hurt. And then you find out she almost lost her leg.
Right. It's just like shattered.
You kind of go, huh, well, I kind of feel bad now.
Well, I wasn't thinking that, so I don't feel bad.
You just didn't care at all.
I didn't see it.
No.
Yeah.
And it was, the other thing I thought was interesting is when she fell, because we were watching this, right?
Yeah.
They did, you know, for like...
Did you go, oh my God, and stand up?
For 30 minutes.
And you're frozen to the TV? What's happening?
For 30 minutes, they you know, dealt with this and everything, and they did not show a replay of that one time.
I don't think they have yet.
You know... So, were you going to show this? I mean, like,
yeah, come on, see it.
The NFL, you know, you get
they showed Joe Theismann getting his leg broke 1,000 times.
So all you got to do is rewind it, and you can watch it over and over and over if you want to. Right. Why a TV network would say, well, out of, you know, professional courtesy, we're not going to show it.
Right.
But it's not like, you know, she was gushing blood or nothing. She was a skier that tripped and fell.
Okay, who makes those decisions? Like, we're not going to show that. We're not going to run the people booing J.D. Vance again. Or, you know, like, who makes those decisions?
I'm guessing some producer someplace.
Okay.
Who's got someone standing next to him telling him where the money's at.
What, you think they got a gun against his head? Don't play that again.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
I did see some bobsledders flip over two or three times. Like, three bobsleds flipped over during the course.
Do the big tumble?
Yeah.
Or just slide underneath of it. They got safety rails.
Yeah, but, you know, I was thinking about those bobsledders. You know, it shows them, you know, they're ripping down the course, and it finally rolls over on its side, and all their heads that are like four in a row all bash up against the side, and they're going like 80 miles an
they're
hour.
They're going.
You know.
Almost as fast as the truck that was dragging me on a car hood.
Yeah, it was amazing.
The other bad one was the speed skaters that were skating in a group, and they all wiped out, and one of the skaters took a skate to the face and put a big gash across their face.
Like a pirate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like a hockey player. It's like, I remember when the hockey thing ended, like the one of them got their teeth broke out in like the last minute of it, you know? Like a front
tooth? No. He got his teeth broke out in the first period and then came back and played and scored the winning goal.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Of course, that's kind of just standard operating procedure for the NFL, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know how many guys are missing their teeth in the NHL?
All of them.
Yeah. Well, you play hockey
long
enough.
Not a goalie.
Play hockey long enough, you're going to be missing a tooth.
You're
going
to lose a tooth. That's just the way it is.
And they don't. They kind of know that going in.
Well, they did it. They lost their teeth when they were teenagers or younger, getting their teeth knocked out in like high school hockey.
You know, it takes a certain girl to really be attracted to a hockey player at teenage years.
Yeah, gold digger.
Hockey guys don't get cash like that, do they?
Wayne Gretzky's a billionaire.
He's the only one.
Yeah, I know. I can't think. I had to use him because I can't think of anything else. As a matter of fact, I can't give the name of any active hockey player right now.
Bobby Orr.
I said active.
Bobby Orr probably made like $20,000 a year.
Right. He had work during the off season at McDonald's.
In Palm Springs.
It wouldn't have been Palm Springs. Been in Calgary or someplace cold and awful.
Do you know what the minimum requirements to have a sport in the Winter Olympics are?
The minimum requirements to have a sport?
You got a sport you're going to put in the Winter Olympics. What requirement does it have to meet? It's got to either be played on snow or ice.
Is that the fact? That's it?
Yep.
Snow or ice?
Yeah, they can put anything else in they want, but their charter said that for the Winter Olympic Games, it's got to be something played on snow and ice. So you could have snowball fighting.
Simple as that.
As a Winter Olympic sport.
What city did they? Was that New York where they had a snowball fight started off and the cops had to break it up and they started throwing it at the cops?
Yeah, the cops were getting pelted.
That's real New York there, isn't it?
Yeah. And so the question.
All right, all youths, let's move it on.
bring out a big snow plow and plow them all into a pile. We're taking them all to jail.
Yeah. All right, who threw that?
You know, you just had this boop, 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 boop. You just had this picture of like a New York public school, you know, kids are all out fighting in the yard, you know, throwing snowballs, and the principal comes out, now knock it off. And, you know, like everyone was going to turn around and belt him, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I guess that's what happened with the cops.
I guess we couldn't have snowmobile races because that's motorized, right? The Olympics doesn't have anything motorized, do they? Is anything motorized?
They don't have car racing. Car racing's not a sport.
That's right. You're just sitting behind the wheel. That ain't a sport. You're not an athlete. What about, what I'd like to see is more of the, where the skiers come down a hill and they ski across a open water.
Oh, yeah.
I like that. I'd like to see some of that. Like, and then maybe like a ramp into the water.
Like that, like in It's a Wonderful Life. Kids going down the hill, yeah. Shovel.
Yeah, shovel races.
Yeah.
They'd come out with some really high-tech shovel, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think all the California winter sports that they came up with for America to win medals in, all the other countries have caught up to them now.
Yeah. You're talking about the half pipe and
half pipe snowboarding. And the snowboarding and the mountain where they ski and flip and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all balanced out now. So Americans need to come up with something
like shovel racing.
Or going down the hill on a piece of plastic. You remember we would do that? You just roll up in a big piece of plastic and go down a hill and you feel everything.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of harsh.
Yeah, for a while, back in the day when you were a kid, you know, you start off with runner sleds. Everybody had a runner sled just like it was 19.
Old fashioned.
Like it was 1930.
And now people hang those on the wall like they're antiques.
Yeah.
Can you go to a store and buy a runner sled
Rosebud?
Yeah, like Rosebud, or like what? Who's the actor that just died that was in 1,000 movies? In Godfather, is Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, him.
Because when
DiCaprio, yeah,
it's not DiCaprio. He's carrying a sled under his arm as a Christmas gift in The Godfather.
Is that Robert Duvall?
Robert Duvall's sled.
Yeah.
But you don't see a sled like that anymore. No.
They came out with a...
Remember we double deck on those and even triple deck?
Oh, yeah.
That's no different than the luge. See, yeah. we have done that.
Yeah, we're still secure.
Yeah.
In our manhood.
Mm-hmm.
So then they had, like...
I think, Rick, I think the word you were looking for is masculinity.
Yeah. They came up with these sleds that were just rolled up pieces of, like, hard plastic.
Yeah. Yeah, we had them.
You'd let go of them and they'd just roll
back up, yeah.
And you could go downhill on them.
Yeah.
And that was a feel. That was a feel every bump thing, too. Yeah,
they would start to crack. Yeah. Remember, they'd get the big slits in them and they'd fall apart and then...
And the holes where you would hang on tended to plow snow into your face.
Yeah, they were fun, but they were cheap and poorly designed.
And then they came out with molded plastic.
The molded slits. Plastic, yeah, because they had a dual purpose. You could ride on them as a sled, or you could drag firewood around in them.
Yeah.
Or a corpse.
And I think that's the status of sledding to this day.
Well, you know, I think you left one out, and that was the toboggan.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like that wooden thing that you just couldn't control. You had to have just a straight hill.
Yeah, I don't know anybody that had one of those.
I think years ago, and I might be crazy, but...
You are, but go ahead.
I think there was a toboggan that hung on the wall at Pier Marquette State Park Lodge.
Maybe.
I think there was a toboggan there.
But I don't think you'd go take it off the wall. It was like decoration.
Yeah, it was decoration, yeah. What about snowshoeing? They haven't had a snowshoeing race where you strap on a pair of snowshoes and just run across the tundra.
They could have that in the Winter Olympics pretty darn easy because, you know, cross-country skiing, how is that much different than snowshoe dash?
Yeah, snowshoe dash would be an interesting thing, I think.
Dog sledding. You know, they have horse race stuff in the Olympics.
Oh, they do have equestrian.
Yeah, they do. You could have a... Dog sled
race. We could have a dog sled race. Why not? There'd be a bunch of countries that do that, wouldn't they?
Yeah. You know, I was watching the bobsled thing.
And America would have a shot at that.
Yeah, and Canada. It would be like hockey. It would be the America, Canada win that.
Finland, Norway, yeah, Swedes. Yeah, they don't
have dog racing.
Russians probably have a... Although, okay, let's talk about the Russians for just a second here.
You mean that they competed, but they didn't really?
Right. It was, they were like independent.
Yeah, that's nonsense.
That is nonsense. If you're kicked out, you're kicked out.
I'm not a citizen of any country in the world.
Right. I live in a cardboard box, and I move around a lot.
At sea, I just got
in a cargo ship.
So I'm here representing the country of Allen.
Right. I'm representing the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, but they let them do that. I think that's nonsense. Your country gets banned.
You're banned. Go protest your government for whatever thing they did.
But the whole business of banning some country.
What's the proof?
You let Nazi Germany host them.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that setting the standard right there? You let Nazi Germany have the Olympics? I think to ban anybody else is pretty hypocritical.
I'm guessing that the Olympic committee is looking back on that as probably bad.
You know, should we have really let...
We shouldn't have let Hitler do that.
They booked those Olympics before Hitler came on board.
I know that.
But they could have canceled them or moved them someplace else.
Right.
You know, once they saw that it was... once they saw what direction the wind was blowing in Nazi Germany.
Right. Well, they might cancel the next Olympics.
Where's it at? Oh, that's in L.A., isn't it? Or Salt Lake City?
I think it's L.A.
Is next winter in Salt Lake City?
I don't know that you get a summer and Olympics back to back, do you?
Nazi Germany did.
Okay, here we go. Okay. Okay, but I would go for dog racing as the snowshoe dash. Hell, they could get four or five different, you know, the 100-kilometer snowshoe dash, the mile snowshoe dash. Well, they don't have miles.
Oh, like the 100-yard snowshoe dash.
But I'm just saying, you know, in Olympic skating, for instance, they just have, you know, you're still skating, but you're skating different lengths.
Yeah. So we're going to add a new sport. We're going to have the 75-meter skate dash. As we've got the 50 and the 100, but we're going to add 75. And then we're going to add 125.
Oh, well, that's so much more exciting to watch.
And this guy won 7 medals doing it.
Right. You could just have a foot race in, you know, knee-deep snow.
Oh.
Why couldn't you do that?
You know, that's exhausting.
It's exhausting.
But you have to have deep, fresh snow.
Yeah, where you're post-holing all the way through it.
Yeah. Agreed. You know, the bobsleds are, each country does not make its own bobsled. All the bobsleds are made by the same country.
Okay.
And
you just pick one? I'll take the red one.
Well, you can color it whatever color you want.
I get that.
But they're all, and you know, when you watch those, you know, they come dashing down, you know, and they're only like a hundredth of a second apart.
Each one. Right.
You know, the difference between like first and last is only like 2 or 3 seconds.
Yeah. So really what they're focusing on is methodology. How quickly you get in and how well you steer.
Do you believe that timing though? Someone says, oh, sorry, Alan, you lost by 1/100th of a second.
Yeah.
You don't think you can go, are you kidding me? I don't believe that for an instant. I don't believe that for 1/100th of a second.
Uh-huh.
So I'm guessing your dog sleds would be the same way. They'd make them.
Yeah,
exactly,
but I think that anything that is timed or you're going head to head and one person wins and one person loses.
You think
loses,
they're exact enough that they could tell you within a hundredth of a second?
What I'm saying is you're getting a much more satisfied result than the interpretation of who won the ice dancing.
Who was more graceful?
Yeah. I mean, come on.
Say what you really think.
Well, I think that's ridiculous. Anything that is subjective like that shouldn't be
the
an Olympic
ski jumpers.
Sport.
Did you follow any of the controversy with ski jumpers?
Which controversy?
The one this year.
Okay, what was the controversy, Rick?
Do you know for real?
No.
Okay, the controversy is the ski jumpers.
Okay.
Apparently, they have like super fine Olympic rules about what you have to wear. That every ski jumper gets the same, they go to the same company that does like a digital body scan of you, and
makes your suit for
you. And makes the suit to within like millimeters of your body size. Okay. Because if you have any extra fabric, it will act as a little bit of a sail.
To help keep you up there longer.
Keep you up maybe an inch farther than everybody else, and that's the difference between gold and silver. The controversy this year, I swear to God in heaven, is that the male ski jumpers, before they went in to get measured, would have injections of some damn drug.
I did hear about this in their penises.
In their organ.
Yeah.
So that then when they got the suit, they would be smaller and have a little bit of flap there.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's...
I don't know that
you gotta really want it.
I don't know that I want a gold medal that bad. Yowza.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, the Chinese men are having theirs injected. Do you want...
How bad do you want it?
Do you love your country?
Is it worth that extra inch? Well, not for ski jumping.
You'll be very popular. Yeah, but I thought you said it's going to shrink back down. They don't know that.
Wowza.
Yeah, gotta want it.
But that was a real controversy.
Yeah, okay, I did hear that controversy. I thought maybe there's something weirder that you were talking to tell me about.
Oh, yeah. not something just straightforward and normal like that.
Nah, that's normal. God.
When you're talking about hiking through deep snow.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we hiked up in the mountains in Colorado?
Yeah.
To when we were going to go mountain climbing. Yeah. Me, you.
No, we weren't going to. We were doing it.
Yeah, I know. We took the ski lift to the top of it and then decided we were just going to climb up from there to the top of this mountain. Me, you, Moose Klunk, and Dennis.
Yeah.
And we started off, it wasn't bad walking. But, I mean, we're in tennis shoes.
Yeah, and you're climbing up through rocks and boulders and stuff.
And then there's a little bit of snow.
No big deal. Yeah.
And finally, we're slonking through, just like you said. What'd you call it? Post-holing?
Yeah. Where you're sinking up to your knees or beyond every step.
Yeah.
And that's exhausting.
Yeah, it was. Even with Moose Klunk going first and you stepping in his steps like King Wenceslas.
Well, he's got a little more leg to start with to where we're not, you know, going as... You know.
Yeah, and Brother Dennis is...
That's where he gave up.
He's at a serious disadvantage anyway. He was always the one with, like, the shortest legs.
Yeah.
And we're asking him, and he was pretty young to ask to slog through knee-deep snow.
Come on, let's go, Dennis.
And he finally reached the point where he hermaned on us.
Just leave me.
Just leave me.
Well, what if we don't come back this way? I don't care. he was done.
It's done. So we turned around and went back. Oh, you like... angled off to the side. It turned out there was
a road.
There's a road that went all the way up there.
We climbed up to where people were driving.
Knee deep snow.
Well, this is disappointing.
But if they have that as an Olympic sport, we're trained.
Right. 40 years ago.
Well, you want to tell me about the Olympic athletes getting tattooed?
Yeah. The most popular tattoo in, where were they at? Italy, was the Olympic circles. Everybody's, you know, like 90 some odd percent of the athletes that participated have an Olympic tattoo on them.
So someone brings their tattoo card up to Olympic Village and says, sets up shop.
Yeah, they're going to make a fortune.
Got to do the rings.
Yeah. Here's what they'll look like. But, you know, and all the different athletes were showing, you know, and a lot of them would have them like right on their side.
Yeah.
Like on their ribs. Some of them had on the inside of their arms. So some of the dudes had them where you would put mother.
Yeah, or an anchor.
Yeah. And, you know, some of the women had them.
Tramp stamp.
Yeah. You know, that kind of thing.
I think if I was doing it, I'd have it tattooed right on my face, right around, make it look like glasses on my face.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I was thinking more forehead.
Well, the two bottom rings would make the eyeglasses. And have the three above it.
Okay, if you had a tattoo, and just any tattoo, it's like, say, you woke up one day and said, you know what? Today's the day I'm getting a tattoo. Would you, because this is something I don't quite get, would you have it on the front of your body or the back of your body?
I don't want to see it.
There you go. That's the issue at hand. these people get a tattoo, and the only way they could ever possibly see it is with a mirror. And like, then it's going to be backwards.
Like Sarah can't ever look at her tattoo.
That's right. So, I mean, if I'm getting a tattoo, I want it where I can see it, man.
What would the response be if you went to your wife and said, honey, you know, I'm 66 years old, 65 years old. You know, if I want a tattoo, I'm going to get one. I'm going to get a tattoo.
That's stupid. Now go mow the lawn.
You wouldn't say, but I didn't ask. You didn't ask when you got one.
We're not wasting money on a tattoo.
You idiot.
Now do the dishes. No, she doesn't call me idiot. You call me idiot.
And I haven't called you idiot.
Implied it right there.
I didn't call you an
same
idiot.
Same as saying
last,
it.
In the last podcast, same I didn't mention it at all.
Okay, here we go. We're out of time.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? For real? For real?
Yeah.
Huh.
That's it. That's it. We're over, done, fini.
See you later from Rick Gator.
And Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Alicia Liu's Custom Moomoos. If you want a moomoo, make it a Lulu. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that little bit of legal business in hand, see you later from Rick Gator and Alligator. This has been a Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network production. Accept no substitutes. Like there are any.